All right, thank you, Brittany.
We're going to go to the book of Proverbs, please. Chapter 16, right in the middle of the Bible there. Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Excuse me. I'm just going to read one verse tonight. If you're physically able, would you stand with me one more time? It won't take a second, and we'll have a word of prayer. Proverbs 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you tonight to bless. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, fill this place with liberty. May your word go forth, Father, into tender soil, soft hearts, ears that are inclined to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you again. I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about God's spiritual scale. God's spiritual scale. A scale, or a balance, is used to measure, weight. Now, they're not allowed in my house because it's too depressing. Okay? They're off limits in my house. I have to go to the doctor every year. I have to stand on that scale, and I act like I don't see it, and my phone rings. But it measures weight. Do you understand? That's what the Bible says, that the Lord weigheth the spirits. The measurement of weight determines how much of me there is. Right? Okay? Amen? Or how little of me there is, or whatever, you understand. During the gold rush in the United States, there was a gold rush, and when people were going west, digging for gold and finding, prospecting, they would bring back their gold to the scales to be weighed on the scales. Once it was determined to be real gold, then they would weigh it, and they would get paid based on the weight of the gold, on how much gold they had. The standard of weight was set by the authorities, and it was already a predetermined, unchanging standard, okay? It was defined. Final authority then was the scale and the weight, and you've seen the balance scales where they put one side has a weight on it and the other side has what you're measuring, and then you basically, when it balances out there, you have the unequal amount of weight. Well, the final authority, the scale, is the final authority, and that would judge how much they would get paid based on how much gold they had. Now, what we human beings like to do, according to verse 2, is we like to weigh our ways on our scales.
Yeah.
We like to use our standards to weigh our actions. The Bible says here, all the ways of a man, all the actions of a man, all the things that we do are clean. They're fine. There's nothing wrong with them. Many times we weigh our actions on scales that someone else has provided, but the world's standard, you understand? But either way, it's my choosing which scale I measure myself on. So what this Bible is saying here is that no matter if it's left up to you and me, we'll find a way for our ways, our actions, our lifestyle to be perfectly fine. We'll make it somehow. We'll find some scale that will find that will, because you can find all kinds of different ones. Let me illustrate to you. When you want to make a major purchase, you shop around, I hope. Okay? You compare prices, you compare warranties, you compare brands, etc. And that's what we call retail. You understand retail? We're looking for the best deal on whatever it is that we're wanting to buy. These retailers, how it works, if you're not familiar, I'm sure you are by now, they all buy from a wholesaler and he sells it at the same price to everybody. And then when they get it to their store, they mark it up a certain level, and then basically that's their profit. Now, some retailers mark it up more than others, you understand, based on whatever their store allows. But when you're looking, you're shopping around, you're looking for the retailer that has the product you want to, with the least markup, right? Yeah. I mean, that only makes sense. That's what we're looking for. So, because we want to get the best deal. I mean, we're bargain shoppers. Unless you just got money coming out your ears, you'd like to get the best deal.
Amen.
Unless your brother Worcester coming out your ears, right? But the fact is, we want to find we want to find what we need at the best possible price. So we shop around and we look. But also, you know, in this process nowadays, you can find on smaller scales, you can find a different brand, maybe a different brand of product, and maybe even a generic type, depending on what it is. And you can get it from a different manufacturer. Listen now, they claim to have the same product, right? Are you with me? They claim to have the same product, but boy, the price is so much cheaper, and that's how Walmart continues to thrive, because generic products claim to be the same, but at a much lower price. Now, sadly today, many believers, many Baptists, treat their Christian life as if they're shopping for retail.
Yeah, come on, brother. Preach it. That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? If they can find a better deal, they'll go there. Listen now, if they can find a better Bible, they'll go there. There's not a better Bible. But that's how people treat it. If they can find a better church, and by the way, it ain't about you finding, again, it's not about us using our scales to measure our ways. If they can find what they think is a better Bible, if they can find what they think is a better church, if they can find what they think is a better spouse,
Right. Yeah, come on.
If they can find what they think is a better job, right. And he just goes on and on and on. And I promise you, listen to me tonight, I promise you, Satan, our adversary, will always offer you a better deal on what you're looking for, but it's always a cheap, generic substitute.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't even compare. It's never going to compare to the real thing. Now, why then do so many people treat God and the Christian life as such? Well, because when we pick and choose our own scales, you understand, eventually we'll find one that weighs us out, like I said, and approves of what we're doing, and we can go on.
Yeah.
You know, that way we don't have to change anything. That way we don't have to change anything. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. He'll find a way to justify. He'll find a way. He'll find a scale that will balance out on what he thinks is okay, and that way he doesn't have to change anything.
That's right. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That way, he doesn't have to give up anything.
Yep.
You understand, when you buy something, all you're doing is trading your money for that item.
Yep.
It's just an exchange. That's all it is. Right? You have to give up your money, though.
Yeah.
You understand that? You have to give up your money. So what I'm going to do is I'm trying to find this deal where I have to give up as little money as possible.
Amen.
And get the biggest product I can find. There's nothing wrong with shopping like that, but why do we treat God like that?
Amen.
See, I find a scale that makes me look good, even when I know I don't look good. I find a mirror that makes me look good, even when I know what I really look like. But I find things that show me and make me think that everything's okay, and I can find a way in my own eyes, according to the Bible, to make my ways clean, perfect. In other words, I don't need to change anything. Everything's just right. Now, I might be able to get what every shopper wants, right? The perfect purchase. What's that? Something for nothing. I mean, I could go down, I could drive down the road and find something that says free on the side of the road. Now, come on, Miss Claudia, you know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, many of you, well, don't tell anybody, preacher. Well, she doesn't have any problem with it. She comes in and gets somebody to go take her and get it. Who's got the biggest truck? Come on, let's go get it.
I do.
But I draw the line at diving in the dumpster, though, okay? Don't do that. I draw the line there, please. If you do, please don't tell anybody you're a member of this church. But let's think about this, though. Why is it that thrift stores are so popular? Why is it that pawn shops are so popular? Why is it that garage sales are so popular?
Amen.
Why is it that you can find those online websites, you know, where that's all it is a garage sale? That's all it is a thrift store online. Why is it so popular? Some of these churches around here need to change their signs to the pawn shop church.
There you go. Amen. Yeah. Come on, preach it, brother.
Some of these churches around here need to change their signs to the non-denominational Church of God in Christ Pentecostal Cowboy Thrift Store Church.
That's it.
Are you with me tonight? Maybe we can come up with God's Goodwill Garage Sale Church.
There you go.
Now come on, if you shop at those places, that's fine. But we don't need to treat God like that.
Amen.
We don't need to treat God like we don't. When we need something from God, we want God's. We might even be able to find a resale revival.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. I'm being lighthearted here, but the truth is, when it comes to spiritual things, things of God, when it comes to the ways of God and the will of God and the Word of God, listen. We can't be bargain shoppers,
right.
But we are.
Yeah.
Too many times we are.
Right.
I mean, after all. That's just the way we're made. On our own scales, all of our ways are clean and right. And nothing's wrong with me. I'm just right. I am A-OK. Nothing is going to bother me. I'm perfect in my own eyes. When I was growing up, I don't remember who told me this or taught me this, but I remember when I was in the military, they used to say, you know, that there's a man who's a legend in his own eyes. You know, a legend in his own time. You know what that means? He's a legend, but he's a legend in his own eyes. A legend in his own mind. In other words, he thinks that everything we can see, it ain't that way. But when we find our scales that measure up to what we want to do, we can shop around for the right church that we think is right.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And we can listen. We shop around for that church that costs us the least. That we have to give up the least amount in order to do and be right with God according to what that church says, according to what that church is propagating, according to what that Bible says to be true. And so we shop around and we find the easiest way to make ourselves feel I'm clean, I'm A-okay.
Yeah, right.
Now, according to my verse here, human nature is I want to be clean.
Yeah. Amen.
All the ways of man in his own eyes are clean.
Yeah.
Now, understand something. Humanly speaking, now we know that the soul is born completely defiled with sin.
Right.
You understand? But our innate in every one of us, according to this verse and according to what you know to be true in your own life, is that there's something in us, in our conscience, our guilt, if you will, that we want to be clean. We don't want to live the rest of our lives defiled in sin. We know that we're dirty. Otherwise, we wouldn't be looking for something to make us clean.
Amen.
That's right. We know even the remote parts of, you know, jungles of Africa, wherever you want to go, Tibet, China, they are worshiping something because they want to be clean. They want to be right. They want to be okay.
That's right.
It's human nature. God put that in us. It's called a conscience.
Absolutely.
Amen.
But the problem is with mankind is we don't have wisdom, we don't have understanding, we don't have insight, so to speak. We don't have discernment. That's what we've been talking about in the book of Proverbs, to understand this scale is false. The scale that I'm depending on, the scale that I'm trusting, is making me clean in my own eyes, but I need to realize this scale, then, is not God's scale. The standard is tweaked. The standard is twisted. The standard is perverted.
Right.
Crooked. So therefore, what I think to be clean and balanced out and perfectly fine is really not. But see, what happens is we measure ourselves in our own eyes. Many times we compare ourselves to other people. And we say, oh man, I'm not as bad as he is. I'm not as bad as she is. I mean, after all, I'm not in jail. anymore.
Right.
I mean, really, we'll go that far. Well, I was only in jail for 5 years. He's still there. I'm better than he is. It's that we're constantly comparing. Why? Because we want to be right. Yeah. We want to be clean. Yeah. And we make ourselves clean in our own eyes. And the Bible says it's going to happen. But the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad? When God comes in, he says, but the Lord weigheth the spirits.
Yeah.
In other words, God doesn't even look so much at our actions, dearly beloved, as he's looking at our spirits, our hearts.
Amen.
Right.
Our hearts. God, listen, let me write this down and remember this. God weighs our attitude over our actions. Because listen to me, your attitude will determine your actions. Now, your spirit is what God is weighing, is what God has on his scales, our spirit. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts.
Yeah.
Same thing. The spirits, the hearts of man, who we are inside.
Yeah. Right.
You realize I can be clean as a whistle on the outside. I mean, I can take a shower even. Good idea to do that once in a while. I can take a shower. I can put on, you know, I can clean my fingernails, my toenails. I can scrub all that wax out of my ears. I can be spit shine clean, man. Sparkling clean on the outside and still have a rotten, absolutely rotten spirit.
Yeah, right. Man.
Right.
Right.
You probably maybe know somebody like that. But it can happen to all of us.
Yeah. Right.
Because anybody, listen, I'm just trying to say to you tonight that we've got to stop measuring ourselves with our own scales. Right. We've got to stop measuring ourselves with everybody else's, what they're doing, and comparing ourselves to them. We've got to stop thinking, well, my actions are okay. I must be okay. I'm clean. I'm good. A man's spirit is the inner man, the heart, the mind. Listen to me, the motive.
Yeah. Right.
The motive. Why are you doing such things? Why are you acting in such a way? You see, Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly, all of the inner parts. The spirit of a man is the candle, the light that God uses to say, open up. I'm going to stick my candle inside here, and I'm going to look all around the very deepest part of your belly. And there's nothing hidden to God. There's nothing hidden. And the spirit of man is what is the candle, the light that shows what's really inside.
That's right.
Now, what I'm trying to say, and I'm getting to the message here in a minute. It's just a simple introduction. But a false balance, according to Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, and a just weight is His delight.
Yeah.
A false balance is those false scales we were talking about. The scales that we try to find and make ourselves fit on and compare ourselves. And I can do the right thing, understand, with a really bad attitude.
Yeah.
I can do the right thing with a very worldly, carnal spirit. I can do the right thing for the very, very, very wrong reasons. Human beings, we have become very adept, very good at putting on a front and making ourselves think everything is clean. Everything is fine. There's nothing wrong with me. But yet God is all the while weighing our spirits, our hearts,
amen,
our minds,
yeah,
our motives.
Right.
And see, there's a whole lot of difference there between outward man and inner man. There can be a whole big difference there. For example, a Pharisee. They were so legalistic. They were so perfect in every way. They washed their hands for every meal. They did not lift a finger on the Sabbath day. They prayed three times a day. They tithed even. They gave. They were in the synagogues all the time. But Jesus said, "But inside you're full of dead man's bones." Yeah. That means you are as dead as you've ever been inside.
Uh-huh. Yep. Amen.
Can I say something to you today? That is the average religious person.
Amen.
Religion, church people. Most churches today, not all of them, but most churches today are raising up people like this. They're raising up people who are going through some type of religious exercise when they come to church, some type of religious motion that they've been doing for so many years, but yet the Lord's sitting there looking at them way past all of that external facade, and He says, "There is what I'm really looking at. That's what I'm weighing. Is the Spirit." That's what I'm weighing, is the Spirit. I can do a lot of good things for the wrong reason, to satisfy myself, to appease my conscience. But in all actuality, God knows what I'm doing. God knows why I'm doing it. And I'm just trying to help us tonight. There's a lot of different spirits in the Bible. The Bible talks about excellent spirit, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of courage. And a bold man, a courageous man, a brave man is not that way because he's strong on the outside necessarily. He's that way because he has a spirit of courage. Are you with me tonight? There's a willing spirit. A willing spirit is a spirit that's willing to do whatever God says. He may not be perfect. He may not be the most. He may not be the most qualified, but he's the most willing. The best ability you can have for God, listen to me, is availability.
Yeah, that's right.
You just make yourself available. God, here am I. Send me. Yeah. Here am I, Lord. Whatever you want me to do. That's a willing spirit. That doesn't mean you can sing better than anybody else. That doesn't mean you can play the piano or you can preach or you can teach. It just means, Lord, here am I. You may not be the best soul winner, but you're willing.
Yeah.
And that's what God uses. That's what God looks at.
Amen.
A spirit that's willing. There's willing spirits. There's giving spirits. Amen. There's understanding spirits. There's contrite spirits. What does that mean? That means, you know what, God? I know I need a lot of help. Contrite spirit is a humble spirit. A spirit that realizes I need God's grace. I need God's strength. I cannot take one step on my own.
Amen. That's right, brother. Amen.
God knows that kind of spirit. God dwells closely with that contrite spirit, according to Isaiah 57. There's a contrite spirit. There's a refreshed spirit. Amen. That's what we need. That's what church should do. There's a revived spirit. And I'm talking about a revived spirit where I was down, I was weary, but now God has revived my spirit. I may not look any better. I may still have gray hair and be a little bit plumper around the middle than I should be, but I can have a revived spirit, glory to God.
Amen.
I may not be able to run as fast as I used to, but I can have a revived spirit whether I have a revived body or not.
Yeah,
hallelujah. But there's also broken spirits. There's also spirits of anguish. There's jealous spirits. There's troubled spirits. There's hardened spirits. Boy, that's a hard one right there, so to speak. No pun intended. Hardened spirit. No, that's a hard heart.
Yeah.
That's just a spirit that is not going to be moved for anything or anybody.
Yeah.
And God sees that. Well, they might move their feet and they might lift a finger, but they're not going to change anything inside.
Yeah.
There's angry spirit. Anybody? Now listen, stop. Hey, take those pictures out of your head. Stop getting that face in your head. I'm not talking about anybody you're thinking about right now, okay? But you know what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you these things so you can start thinking, yeah, that's her. That's her. Yeah, that. No. Don't start all that. There's evil spirits. There's sad spirits. There's lying spirits. You know, lying spirits?
Oh, yeah.
People that just cannot tell the truth if their life depended on it.
Yeah.
And God knows that. Amen. Well, nobody else knows I'm lying. God's weighing in the spirit. See, that's you saying, well, on my scales, I'm fine, because nobody, because what they don't know won't hurt them. God knows.
Right.
He knows. You lie. There's a corrupt spirit. There's a strange spirit. There's a spirit of guile. There's an unclean spirit. Now, according to our verse here, my spirit will make my ways dirty. I think my ways are clean, but the Lord's weighing my spirit. If I have an unclean spirit, it doesn't matter how clean my ways are. You see what I mean? In other words, have you noticed that a lot of people have different standards when it comes to cleanliness?
Yeah.
Well, my house is clean. According to who?
Yeah.
Compared to what? I mean, really, think about it. Why does one person think, man, my house is perfectly spotless? And another person says, are you blind?
Yeah, amen.
Why is that? Because there's different, again, we've got different scales.
Yep.
Well, an unclean spirit, unclean spirit means it doesn't matter how clean we think, it muddies up the whole body. It muddies up the whole life. So let me say this to you quickly and I'll be done. Why is the spirit so important to God? Why is God weighing the spirits? Number one, because God is a spirit.
Amen, brother.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because God is a spirit. Now, don't turn over for sake of time. John 4:24 says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Both of them. Truth is the action, you understand? Truth is doing the things the right way. Kind of like Cain and Abel, we talked about that on Sunday. Doing it the right way. Worshiping God with the right sacrifice. With what's acceptable. But listen, truth is the action. Spirit is the attitude.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
And if I'm going to worship God, listen now, don't miss this. If I'm going to worship God, according to John 4:24, if He's going to accept my worship, it's got to be with a clean spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
A right heart.
Yes. Yeah.
Not just the words, but a right heart. Spirit. If they're going to worship, if you are going to worship God, where He's going to receive that worship, where it's going to be a blessing to Him, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Did you catch that part?
Yeah.
All that is within me.
Yeah.
Psalm 103, verse 1.
Bless
His holy name.
Amen.
See, why does God care about the spirit so much? Because God Himself is the spirit. And God weighs our spirits to determine whether or not He will accept our worship.
Amen.
There's a lot of dead worship going on today.
Yeah, man.
Lips are moving, but spirits are far from clean.
Right.
Amen.
When we do the right thing in the wrong spirit, God doesn't accept it. You need to say amen or listen or write that down or something. According to the Bible, when we do the right thing with the wrong spirit, God says, nope.
Yep. Amen.
Now, preacher, is that really true? If you're going to worship God, yes, it's true.
Yep.
Because God's weighing your spirit, and He knows if your spirit is right or not. And if you are doing something like, let's just say you're in church, and let's just say you're singing a song, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and you just, about an hour ago, you were cussing like a sailor, or you were watching pornography.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Now, come on, are you kidding me? Your spirit is completely filthy. Your heart is completely muddied with gross sin and iniquity, but yet you're singing holy, holy, holy in church.
Yeah.
Now, God is not an idiot.
That's right.
Yeah.
And God says, I'm weighing your spirit. I'm looking on the inside. And if you're going to worship me, you've got to worship me in spirit and in truth. You can't fake it, folks. That's what I'm trying to say.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You can't fake it.
That's right.
And I'm glad for that, aren't you? I mean, I'm glad that God has some standards, aren't you? I'm glad that God has some rules, aren't you? Why? Why, preacher? Why are you so glad? Because, dear God, I want Him to know that my heart's with Him. I want my heart and my spirit, not just my lips. I want Him to have all of me. And listen, if He demands it, then that's what we should give Him. Because He deserves it. He's weighing our spirits. He's not just looking at what you say and what you do. He's looking on the inside. Because the Bible says in John 16 that the Father desires. He desires people to worship Him.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Now you may not believe that or not, but He certainly says it in the Bible. He desires that worship. He wants, in other words, that's fellowship.
Right.
That's communion. That's closeness.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell, and so can you, parents. You can tell when your child is just doing something because they have to when they don't really want to.
Right.
Now, we can't see their hearts, but God can.
Yep.
Amen.
God says, if you're going to worship me, it's going to have to be in spirit and in truth. Praise invites God's presence into our midst as a church family. Praise invites our presence into our personal devotion time with God. Praise invites God's presence into our heart and fills our souls with its fellowship with God. And without the right spirit, listen to me, we lose the comfort and the peace that only He can give us.
Amen.
Amen.
Fake praise, right? Corrupt spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Yeah.
Now, we all want all of God's Spirit. I pray that we do anyway. We don't want any of the evil spirit of this world. Amen. And so we want God to be able to work freely. We want God to be able to walk up and down the aisles of this church and in and out of the chairs. And we want God to be able to speak to you. And because you have unspoken needs and you have burdens that you're carrying and you have broken hearts, and we need God to be able to meet with us in His fullness of His power and His glory. Oh, how we need that. But listen, one rotten spirit opposes that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Amen.
One of you that comes to church with a rotten attitude,
yep,
full of sin. So, preacher, I'm a sinner. Stop making excuses.
Amen. Amen.
One unclean spirit makes the clean, holy Spirit of God bound.
Yeah.
He's bound. He doesn't have, in other words, He's not at liberty to work. He's not at liberty to speak to our hearts. He's not at liberty to give us direction and fill our hearts with peace and comfort and answer our prayers. Because one rotten spirit, one unclean spirit, muddies the whole thing. See, what about you? I that's why you always hear me pray right before I preach. God, fill me with Your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And it would be a good idea for all of you to literally pray that,
yeah,
and desire that and want that.
Amen.
Before we go to the before you walk in these doors.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
God, cleanse me of all this world. Cleanse me of all this. And it would help too, by the way, if throughout the day you wouldn't put the things of the world in your eyes,
yeah,
and your ears.
Yeah, that's right, brother. Come on, praise Him.
Amen.
Now, I know you can't help it if you're at work and those things. I understand that. But you control the rate on your car.
That's right.
Amen.
You control the junk in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
See, a good strong church doesn't mean it's a big church. It means that God is at liberty to work and move in people's hearts. But when the unclean spirit comes in, that's why Jesus talked about binding the strong man. And then before you go into a man's house and take what he has, you've got to bind him or he's going to overpower you. What does that mean? That means you got to bind Satan, because we're going into his house to take souls of mankind out of there and yank them out into freedom and sin and salvation from sin.
Amen.
But we're also going in to take that backslidden Christian who's walking in darkness and going back into the world, and we're trying to pull him out. Yeah. We're trying to pull that prodigal out of the world back into the Father's house. Amen. But we need to bind the strong man, get him nailed to the wall so we can do what the Spirit of the Lord has the power to do that. Amen. But he needs to have liberty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know when God shows up.
Yeah, amen.
You know there's a special presence in this place when God shows up. And listen, he doesn't make you start turkey talking like a gibberish gibbering. No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
He speaks to your heart.
Yeah.
He moves in your soul. He stirs your spirit. He refreshes your spirit. He revives your spirit. He renews your spirit.
Amen.
And dear God, that's what we need more than anything. God, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but Lord, if you'll just revive my spirit tonight, I'll be okay. I'll face whatever comes tomorrow.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, freedom to just do what God wants to do.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you want a church service like that?
Amen.
Where sinners know they need to get saved, where they're convicted down to the bottom of their heart, and they're scared to even take another breath because they know they're going to hell if they don't get saved.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
You've been in services like that, right here. But you've also been in others, haven't you? Where it's like, God, where are you?
Uh-huh.
God, come on, where are you?
Right.
It's because there's somebody in here with a rotten spirit.
Amen.
That's grieving the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Oh, they're here.
Yep.
But that's about it.
Yeah. Man,
that's right.
They're grieving, they're quenching, they're disturbing the spirit. They're bound, instead of binding the strong man, they're binding the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
You say, can a person do that? Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Amen.
The Bible talks about the children of Israel in the wilderness. And the Bible says that they limited the Holy One of Israel by their unbelief.
Yeah.
By their lack of faith. By their evil spirit of unbelief.
Amen.
You know what a heckler is? You know, if you have a comedian, which I am not, when I never have been. Let's just say you have a comedian trying to say something, trying to make people laugh, and you have this one guy over here in the corner who just heckles him, right? Just always giving him a hard time, just arguing with him, fighting. Well, that's not what happens in a church service, not out loud. What happens in the church service is the Holy Spirit of God is trying to move, not make people laugh, but move people, conforming people to the image of Christ.
Yeah.
But there's one rotten spirit back in the corner. I'm not pointing at you, Miss Claudia. Somewhere. She's going to hate me. Preacher! No. My hand just happened to be there, okay? There's one rotten spirit somewhere out here. And instead, not literally heckling out loud, but their spirit is like, everything that the Holy Spirit says, they fight back.
Yep.
And you know, I, as the preacher, I always know when there's no liberty.
Yeah.
And can I tell you something? Just for your own education, that's why Sunday morning services are different than the rest of it. Because there's people here that don't come to church for 1 hour a week.
Yeah.
So their spirits are full of the world.
Yeah. Amen.
And they don't come to church 1 hour a week. Okay, bless me if you can, preacher.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Are you done yet? And then...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's why there's no liberty on Sunday mornings. Hardly ever. Now, there has been sometimes, thank God. But see, God says, I'm weighing your spirit because I'm a spirit and I need to work in your spirit because I want to help you and I'm going to do it through your spirit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it by giving you a better hair color or or more money. I'm going to work in your spirit because I'm a spirit.
Yeah,
and so keep your spirit. I'm weighing your spirits so that I can help you with my spirit. So you can worship me like you should, so I can accept, so we can have fellowship, so we can have communion, so you can be comforted, so you can be given peace, so you can have answered prayer.
Amen.
I mean, that's God. God is not trying to hurt us. He's trying to tell us, look, there's a lot more to being a Christian than just sitting in church. There's a lot more to being a Christian than just going to heaven. There's a God in heaven who has a real living spirit, and He lives in your heart if you're saved tonight. And He says, stop grieving my spirit. Let me help you. But when we come to the presence of God, whether it be church, personal devotions, with this world's spirit. Well, that's why I always talk to you about listening to the right music. You will never live above the level of the music you listen to, because this, it affects your spirit. God is a spirit. Why does He care so much about our spirits? Secondly, because good people can go to hell.
That's right.
What do you mean, preacher? Anybody can do right things.
That's right.
Law-abiding, bill-paying, upstanding house owner, you know, good steady job, nice family, 2.5 children, whatever half child is, you know, this model family,
right.
Every one of them goes straight to hell.
They
sit in church every Sunday, they work, they pay their bills, they're not breaking the law, they're not hurting anybody. And they think they're okay. Because they're good people. Now, the Bible talks about the steps of a good man. And so in other words, comparing horizontally, they're good people. They're not murderous criminals, in other words. They're not in jail. So they're good people, but good people can go to hell. The second reason that God cares about our spirits is because God looks beyond what we're doing, and His Spirit starts working in the spirit of a lost man and helps him understand, you're not okay.
Yeah, amen.
When you got saved, it wasn't because your hair was messed up and God said, your hair's messed up. No, it wasn't because your shoes weren't tied and God says, your shoes aren't tied. It wasn't anything to do with your external appearance. It had everything to do with your heart. Amen. When God got a hold of the fact that you were a sinner, that you were already condemned, that you had no way to ever go to hell, heaven except through Jesus Christ, that you had to humble yourself and repent of your inner sinful man.
Amen.
And that's God weighing the spirits. God weighing the spirits. See, so many people are deceived by their good works in churches today, but God weighs the spirits. God looks past those things. And people, listen, lost people go to church. Lost people can get baptized. Lost people can pray. Lost people can read their Bibles. Lost people can even put money in the offering plate. Lost people can do all of the things that you do.
Yeah.
Well, most of you do.
Yeah. Oh, great. Right.
But see, the Spirit is what God's looking at.
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
What do I mean by that? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
That's right.
See, God knows whether or not you really possess the Spirit of Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That has nothing to do with what you look like. That has nothing to do with what you're doing on the outside. That has nothing to do with where you're going tomorrow. That has everything to do with your heart inside.
Amen.
That's why God's weighing the spirits.
Yep.
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 quickly. I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. Now listen, everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, lip service, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Listen now. Many. You see verse 22? Many. That means a lot of people will say to me in that day. What day? When it's your time to stand before God.
That's right.
When you're standing at the gates of glory and he says, okay, why should I let you in here? Many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful what? Works? Now, good night. If you saw somebody casting out devils and prophesying and doing wonderful works, I mean, they're soul winning. They're in church every time the doors are open. They're giving money. You would say, well, they must be saved. Wait a minute. Many people are going to have that same testimony.
That's right.
But Jesus says, then will I profess unto you, unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. He says, ye that work iniquity. Wait a minute, that's iniquity? All those good works, casting out devils, prophesying in Jesus' name, that's iniquity. Listen to me. It is if you're lost.
That's right.
Because it's no better than anybody else doing anything else. Because the Spirit of God is not in you.
Yeah, that's right.
And if any man had not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to God. And when it's time to die, you will find yourself sorely, sorely surprised. You think, well, I've done so many good things, preacher. I've done so many good works. You better wake up. If God's speaking to your heart tonight, you better realize he's bearing witness with your spirit that you are not born again. It has nothing to do with you or what you're doing or not doing. It has to do with, is Christ in you?
That's right, brother.
The only way you will ever walk into the portals of heaven is when God imputes his own righteousness into your heart through the blood of Jesus Christ. You must humble yourself and stop trying to work your way to heaven. Stop trying to trust in all your good works and realize there's nothing you can do. Everything you've ever done according to compared to God is filthy rags.
Yeah.
You must be born again.
Amen. That's right.
Many lost people are doing a whole lot of good stuff.
Yep.
Did you hear what I just said? Many lost people.
Yep. Amen.
Making Christians look bad.
Yep, that's right, brother.
Yeah, right. Come on.
But when they die and stand before God Almighty, he's going to say, I never knew you.
That's right.
Yep.
I never knew you. That's why God weighs the spirits. But see, this is God's grace.
Amen.
This is why God is continually working in our hearts. Because if it would not have been for this right here, I'd still be going to hell.
Right. That's right.
I grew up in church.
Yeah. Amen.
I was leading people to the Lord as a lost man.
Uh-huh.
Well, say, how can you do that? This is what saves them.
Yeah.
Not me.
That's right.
I knew what to say.
Yeah.
I've been in church since, as long as I can remember. In a Baptist church. But I'll tell you one thing. On May 13th, 2004, 3551 Cindy Drive in Fort Worth, Texas, God put his spirit in me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It had nothing to do with how good I was or how many works I had done or whatever else I had thought I could do. It was everything about him in me. Christ in me. And he was working and weighing my spirit the day that that man was preaching. The man of God was preaching the word of God. And he was preaching about living a lie. And I knew I was living a lie. And God got a hold of my spirit. And God got a hold of my heart. And he weighed me in the balance. And I was found sorely wanting. I was not saved.
Right.
I was afraid to breathe. Oh, because I didn't want it to be my last breath.
Yep.
I was afraid to breathe. I said, oh God, I'm not going to hell for anybody. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm not saved.
Yeah,
and that was God weighing my spirits, showing me it wasn't about what I'd done.
Yeah. Right,
yeah.
It's about my heart.
Yeah.
See, in my eyes, I mean, good night. I had a job. I had a family. I was in church. I was paying my bills. I was even prepared for the ministry already. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was doing a lot of good things.
Yeah.
I thank God that He weighs the spirits.
Amen.
Yeah. I thank God He doesn't play games with me.
Yeah.
I thank God He doesn't play games with us.
Yeah.
There's more to living a Christian life than just doing a bunch of good stuff.
Yeah.
You need to get saved, first of all, and then you'll start to realize what this is really all about.
Yeah.
It won't just be a fire escape. It won't just be, every time I need something, I got to go to church. Now I got what I need, I'm going to go back to my life. You might not be saved.
Yeah, amen.
Because when Christ is in here, everything changes.
Amen.
Whether He blesses me or not, I love Him.
Amen.
Whether He takes care of me or not, He always will. But whether He gives me everything I think I need right now, I'm saved. His Spirit is in me. And I'm not going to leave Him. I'm not going to turn my back on Him. Because His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm His child.
Amen.
I'm a joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah. Christ is in me, and I am in Christ forever.
Amen.
I thank God that He weighs the spirits.
Amen.
God has your spirit on the scale tonight. God has your spirit on the scale tonight.
That's right.
What does He see? I didn't ask you how good you were or how many times you read your Bible this week. I said, what does He see when He's looking at your spirit on his scales? Is it right? Is it holy? Is it clean? Is it saved? Is it alive? How do you know? Was it a feeling you had? Was it some kind of experience? See, God's weighing your spirit right now. If you're not saved, that's what He's trying to tell you. You won't have any fellowship with God. If you are saved, listen to me. Unclean, evil spirit, you won't have any fellowship. You won't have any joy, no peace. What do I do, preacher? Well, first of all, you need to get saved.
Amen.
I mean, right here tonight, you can be born again.
Yep.
You stop playing games about how good you are. How many times God's blessed you? Where did you find that in the Bible? That doesn't. God did not say that. God said you must be born again.
That's right. Preach.
David prayed after he was caught in sin, adultery, and murder. You know what he said? He said, "Oh God, create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit." A right spirit. Sin will mess you up. You will be so far out of God's will. Your spirit will be so unclean. You can pray. You can repent.
Amen.
God's got you on the scales tonight. What does He see?
Amen.
Nobody else can see it, preacher. I know. What does God see?
Yeah.
Amen.
Are you saved tonight? It'd be a shame for you to go to hell from a church pew. It'd be a dead shame for you to go to hell from an old-fashioned, independent, Bible-preaching church where you knew you were lost, you knew you were not saved, and you went to hell anyway just because of your pride.
Yeah.
That would be you would never, ever be able to take that back. Who cares what somebody else thinks? If you're not saved,
I'm not going to go to hell for anybody. What about you? You say, preacher, if I died right now, if I fell over in this chair, I know I'd be in heaven, no doubt about it. Raise your hand, would you? Raise your hand. All right, let me see it. I know I'm saved. You can put them down. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we need you to weigh us on your scales.